I was talking to a few guys a little bit about Ishi's Fast Tower a few days ago. I wanted just to share those thoughts a little bit together, maybe build off of a few of them. The major question is, what's the Torah thinking? Like, what type of moral code, type of reasonable anything is? Is how the Torah, how the Oakland Torah seem to endure something like an Ishi's Fast Tower over here? You know, you're in the middle of war, you just take anyone you want, just bring her home. You know, make her suffer for a month and then make her your wife, and I guess suffer the rest of her life. Like, what? That seems to be the strongest formulation of the question. What's the Torah doing? So the three different approaches, each one different in its in nature. The standard approach is what Rashi says, and it's a fascinating idea. Rashi says, Lo dibur Torah ala keneged yetzer, that the Torah is speaking to your yetzer, the Torah is teaching you, instructing you that. It's a fascinating idea that some, there are some challenges you can't come past. It's along the lines of like a public onus derech manapatri. There are certain things, you know, you're going to struggle with, is it, you know, and the Torah, I guess, is understanding to the imperfections of people. The Torah has a soft spot for situations where you cannot overcome. And there may be other examples of this. Famously, the Rambam talks about karbanos. He writes, it's not the ideal. We don't really want, God doesn't need our karbanos, doesn't care about karbanos. The reason why I bring karbanos is because we have the emotional need to do so. Otherwise, we would just do a avodah zarah. So God gives us kind of like a mutcher way to do it. A man at war, caught up in the battlefield, is difficult to control oneself. And the Torah tries to, it tells you, A, it's a little different Torah, this is not what Hashem wants. B, you have a month to control yourself and cool yourself off. C, she's not supposed to be a try. Do everything you possibly can to avoid sin. And if you're stuck, so then, okay, the Torah kind of allows you through in this particular way. Difficult for the Ishi's Fast Tower, but at least some, the other side is some sense of sensitivity for a struggling religious person. It's reminiscent of the Gemara Moed Katan that says, if you're going to sin, go out into the midbar, put on black clothing and do your sin there. At least you should know you're sinning. Still somewhat difficult. Perhaps even very difficult, but at least the concept is somewhat understandable, that sometimes Torah speaks to your Yetzer. The second model out there is a fascinating Kabbalistic, spiritual, it's a model that we're not raised with, this model number two, it's the Orach Chaim. According to the Orach Chaim, it's Dafka Yerosik and Melchemes Mitzvah. You're at the highest spiritual level possible. You're mamish out there going and fighting for a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the most deep spiritual way, and you're elevated, point one. Point two, he has a fascinating perspective on Gerim in general. He says the Sitra Achra somehow chopped a bunch of neshamas of Jews and took them and brought them to Goyim, and that's how Gerim occur. They really were born with a Jewish neshama, but just somehow to the wrong family, and it's just a matter of time until they ultimately make their way back to Torah mitzvahs. And in a certain sense, what the Ishi's Fast Torah is a Jew going out and doing a spiritual search, which is the opposite of a witch hunt. A non-witch hunt, an inverse witch hunt, looking for all the neshamas tahoros amongst goyim. That's what doesn't say ishis ish. It's dafki fas toar, and the idea is that you're supposed to. So it's like when you're on your spiritual mission, it's like chabad on steroids. You know, there's this. You're supposed to go out and find spiritual. Again, it's an idea we're totally like disconnected with, and perhaps even at first uncomfortable with. But nonetheless, that's day number two. Day number three is the one that resonates with me the most, perhaps as a Westerner. The Ksavu Kabbalah has a third perspective out there. The Ksavu Kabbalah believes that the cutting of her hair is like taking her, you know, and the cutting of her fingernails is like taking her to the barbershop, the beauty salon, and giving her, a manicure. You give her a month to put herself together. And the religious message is you cannot just walk into a town, kill all their people and take whoever you want without treating them properly. In other words, think about war from 2,000 years ago, from 3,000 years ago, 3,500 years ago. War was, we ransacked the village, raped all the women, rode off with everyone's spoils, killed whoever the hell we damn well pleased. Everything was your property if that's what you wanted. And the Torah's kind of navigating you and telling you, if you're interested in the women from the towns that you win, there's a certain way of doing it. You got to take care of them. You got to give them some time. You got to let them cry if that's what they need. You're getting the emotional support and beauty and et cetera, et cetera. It's almost coming from the other perspective. It's not like do whatever the hell you darn well please. It's there's a certain sense of sensitivity, even when it comes to spoils of war. Three different perspectives on Ishi's Fast Tower. From a hashkafic and philosophical perspective, I'm not sure which one resonates with you most. And perhaps even addressing the topic is not that easy. this would be much easier for me to talk about, you know, if I have to lecha kamach, everyone would be on board. Like, who's going to be against that? You know, you don't struggle with that. I think these three perspectives, on a philosophical level, either they answer the questions, or at least take out a lot of the sting from the questions. But I want to talk about a religious take-home message from each of these three perspectives, just the hashkafa you should take from it. Ignoring the philosophical question for a moment, I felt I could not address it, but that's not where I want to spend my time. Number one is that from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, in terms of Shitas Rashi, the religious message, again, ignoring the philosophical practical elements for a moment, the religious message is very profound and very nuanced and very important, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to work as hard as he possibly can and understands when you fail. Understands when things are too tough for you. And sometimes even tells you, if you mess up and you do what I don't want, it's still a mitzvah. You're still a good guy. You're still a good Jew. That's a fascinating perspective in general, Mir Tashem, when it comes to raising children. This is the mindset you should raise your children with. You kids are tzaddikim. You made a mistake. We all make mistakes. Let's try our best not to. You struggled. You fought. I'm glad you won. You didn't win. I'm sorry you didn't win. And perhaps there's no more important child to raise than yourself. And it's a funny perspective, but a correct one. We have a responsibility to raise ourselves. We should treat ourselves the same way. There's this vart I've been thinking about recently, that the mitzvah of chinuch is a fascinating mitzvah. For starters, the greatest thing I ever did for my own religious growth was going to chinuch. It forces me to live up to and teach and preach all my values. I was thinking, it's almost not fair. Why just me? I'm a Rebbe. And I realized, it's not true. Every single person has a mitzvah of chinuch for their children. And the mitzvah of chinuch is surprisingly on your children. And once you have handled that or can handle more, it's talmidim harahim kibanim. The whole goal of chinuch is to educate children, biologically yours, biologically not yours, yourself. And in that sense, the right attitude is try your best, try to succeed. In the same way, if you have a son or a camper or a friend who fails, you can come down unbelievably hard on them, and it's unhelpful, so you know not to. Same thing with yourself, same thing with your family, same thing with your children, same thing with your friends. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to change the Torah in order to be sensitive towards people's needs, so that's a powerful message we should internalize. Point one. Point two is Orach Chaim, and I have less to say about that. But I'll make the following point. Just because there's a world of Kabbalah and spirituality and Sitra Achra and souls and Jewish neshamas and Pintal Yid and who knows what, it's a world I very much don't resonate, that doesn't resonate with me. It's a world I kind of don't connect to. And once in a while I'll make a joke to make fun of it if I think it's funny. But deep, deep down there's a world out there that we don't understand that we should have somewhat respect for and appreciation of. There's a whole spiritual realm out there. It's a major part of our Mesorah. I don't fully understand it, and I'm open to that. But just because I have amaratzis in that particular area doesn't mean the flaws in the area. It's probably just the flaw of my amaratzis. It would be unbelievably arrogant of me to never have looked at this entire world seriously and then be mezalzel on it just because I was brainwashed by Western culture that I should be mezalzel on it. I don't know the world of spirituality. I don't know how neshamas work. Even the people in the world, the most secular, you know, psychologists out there who reject the entire concept of a soul, I think we're nothing more than just a more sophisticated animal, to the more sophisticated plant. There's really no gap between man. Okay, so they're stuck, tzarchi, and what is consciousness? We don't know. So just call it a soul, you'll solve your problem, you know what I mean? Like, but we don't know a lot about this world. Even the experts in the world don't know that much, but they know enough to take it seriously. And therefore, I don't know how Hashem plants souls and what the Sitra Achra does. It's a world I don't get. But it's a world that I very much respect. I'll share with you a quick vart about this, and I'll just go to number three. In last week's Parsha, the Torah tells us, make sure you avoid Kishuf, make sure you avoid here, Mechashef, Umechashef, don't be involved in witchcraft and black magic and all sorts of that genre of figuring out the truth. So why not? So the Rambam says the reason why is because it's false and sheker. And the goal of the Torah is to navigate your way from falsehood, to navigate you towards truth. That's the goal of the Torah. And for the Rambam, that's exactly what the Torah is designed for. The Ramban has a fascinating line. Now that pasuk in the end of Ravi, just before Tam Tiyam Shalakech, and the Ramban says, "What's the Rambam talking about? We've all seen this stuff work. We know energy work works. We've seen it. We've seen it. We've seen it with our own eyes." Remember, I once had a good friend who said, "How could you have machlokas, the Rambam who's telling you philosophy, and the Ramban said he saw it. Of course, you should side with the Ramban." And I responded by saying, "I don't know if that's how Torah works. The two shitas, elu velu." But the Ramban's point is that there's a whole world of this stuff out there. It's just, and it works even. It's just not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants out of you. And that's a fascinating perspective on Judaism. Is it a goal to uncover truth, or is it a goal to uncover, like, emotional connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Ramban would probably choose the former, the Ramban would probably choose the latter. And that's, like, on one hand, two polar opposites. On the other hand, there's an integration between them, because ultimately, almost all the goal of the Torah is to teach you truth in Hiskarvus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's a world out there of Hiskarvus and your Osig Ma. That's day number two. Day number three is, is the Ksavu Kabbalah. And perhaps this is the day that resonates with us most, because as Westerners, we were raised to become sensitive towards others. In the Western world, the only dogma out there is that you should be respective of others, and no other dogmas exist except for these two. There's a world of Bein Adam L'Makom, no world of Bein Adam L'Chavera, pardon me, the absence, the world of Bein Adam L'Chavera, no world of Bein Adam L'Makom. Bein Adam L'Makom is totally fine as long as it doesn't impose upon someone's Bein Adam L'Chavera, but it's all just your own prerogative. It's important for us to realize that Bein Adam L'Chavera comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. It's not just that I'm a nice guy, and also I'm from. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu values kindness, sensitivity, respect, care. According to the Ksavu Kabbalah, the Torah is telling you, even at the time of war, where it's so easy, this person could have easily been dead. And still, they made it somehow. There's a deep sense of respect and sensitivity. And I want to just up that one notch for Yeshiva Bachur. There's a great Chassidus Shavart that I like to tell. Rabbi Kiva used to say, Zekla Gadol B'Torah, in reference to V'ahavta Recha Kamocha. And I don't want to be mezalzlan V'ahavta Recha Kamocha, it's up to the owner of the important mitzvahs. There's no question out there, but Zekla Gadol B'Torah, if I would ask you to make a list of top 10 mitzvahs, V'ahavta Recha Kamocha would probably be up there. But number one, more than Amuna? Like, who's a better Jew? A nice guy or a guy who and doesn't believe in God? Or the guy who believes in God and is a little bit less nice? Or even moderately less nice? How is Amuna not Klal Gadol B'Torah? How is Anoch Hashem Elkecha not Klal Gadol B'Torah? How is V'ahavta Lecha Kamocha Klal Gadol B'Torah? What's more important, loving your friend or Avas Hashem? I don't know, but debatable, right? You can think about number two, number three, but number one? So there's a lot of good terutim to it. And if anyone's interested, Rabbi Davis has a whole mahalach in this, a beautiful vart. But this Chassidus Shavart, which is unbelievable. It's not Zeklal Gadol B'Yahadus. That's not true. Zeklal Gadol B'Torah is exactly what Rabbi Akiva felt, because his Talmidim got competitive. And sometimes the starker you get, the one to make sure the guy one step next to is a little bit less stark. The more you think you're climbing the, Yirtz Hashem, one day the corporate ladder, but today it's the Gemara ladder or the ladder. It's so innate in us to become competitive that sometimes we want to succeed to the exclusion of everyone else just so I should succeed and no one else should. And the message of the Torah is, even someone you're going to war against got you with some level of respect. You can kill him if you have to. But if you're not, killing them, their life is not meaningless. The religious take-home message, I think, is very important for Yeshiva Bachram. Zeklal Gadol B'Torah means Zeklal Gadol B'Lima Torah. It's so easy when you're aspiring to grow yourself to forget about others. It sounds like a crazy thing, but Talmud Torah is a team effort. According to the Rambam, learning and teaching are not two separate mitzvahs, it's one mitzvah. And the Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvah, Zehu Anikra Talmud Torah, to dispel any Havamina, that learning alone is Talmud Torah. According to the Ramah, it's fascinating. We paskin lahalach, according to the Ramah, if you give money to yeshivas, it's not a key mitzvah of tztaka, it's a key mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's surprising. I would have thought the guy who learns fulfills Talmud Torah, and the guy who gives the money is the Osek in tztaka. Wonderful mitzvah as well, but he's Osek in Talmud Torah. The answer is yes. Talmud Torah is to spread Torah amongst Klal Yisrael, and it's our job, while we're learning, to care about others. Torah and Zeklal Gadol B'Torah, maybe again, this Chassidus Shavart. It's Zeklal Gadol when you're Osek in Lima Torah and you're so focused on growing yourself. It's not Bittul Torah to smile and say hello to somebody. It's not Bittul Torah to walk over and say good morning. It's not Bittul Torah. Again, if someone's hocking you 45 minutes in the morning, say so you can cut them off after 5. It's legitimate to say it's great to see you. Let's catch up later. If someone walks in, they offer them a glass of water. Can I help you? Nice to have you here. There's alumni coming in. There's the 12th graders. There's parents coming in. There's random women coming in, walking through the doorway. You can imagine what it's like for a woman to walk into a yeshiva, 500 men, having no idea where she's placed and what she's doing. A simple, hi, welcome, can I help you? You're looking for something. What can I do to help you? And a smile. How helpful is that? You walk out to Kofix to pick up a quick something or other. You're bound to be asked something by somebody. Where's the kotel? You know, where's this? You can just point. You can spend 7 seconds more and say, welcome, good to have you here. It's down that way. We're 15 seconds more. Where are you from? Great to have you in Israel. You're 15 seconds, and the coverage you respect showed other people, which comes out of Bittul Torah, put that on my head. We should be always taking v'ahavta lecha kamocha. We should be always taking respecting each other. And all the religious messages to be taken from Yeshus Yifas Torah on a philosophical level and on a religious level, we should continue growing religiously. Have a good day, everyone. Please pass this back to wherever it came from.
Thank you, Warren.
Sorry again for the lateness.